Welcome back to another episode of Uncomfortable Conversations on Blueprint Coaching. I'm Sam, and we have a great show lined up today. Fabulous guest, Angela Seely. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Do you know what that opening music was? Because your face
it's coming to me. It's from a movie, you know?
Perhaps. Alex, our fabulous tech guy, is smiling. He's heard this so many times. It's Bon Jovi.
Of course.
The opening to Living on a Prayer.
Yes, of course.
Obviously. Probably in several movies. So this is the podcast, which, you know, those who listen on a continuous basis, is about having hard conversations. Not avoiding the subject, facing things head on. We've had tons of different topics on the show, either talking about conversations that we've had or ones that we want to have. And today, actually, we're going to be talking about one that you want to have with an ex-coworker of yours who you have mutual friends in common, and you kind of found out that there might be some bad blood and you want to find out what's going on. And so we're going to talk you through that in a second. And before we get to that, a little quote of the day, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. So this quote says, "Everything becomes a little different as soon as it is spoken out loud." And that's by Hermann Hesse. So it's interesting because on a past radio show, you know, I was talking about, and you actually were on that show, you had mentioned, this made me think of you because you had mentioned talking about dreams and talking about what you want to do and saying it out loud. And so when I read this quote, it kind of just instantly reminded me of you.
Exactly.
But when I say it, what do you think?
No, I like it. I like it. I like Hermann Hesse. And it's funny in yoga, we talk about the chakra systems, and there's a sixth chakra, which is the throat chakra, and it can become unbalanced. And oftentimes, that's when there's something that is unsaid, something that you need to say or to get off your chest. And I think for me, I tend to be an overthinker a lot of times, and so I think too much before I actually say something, or sometimes I get angry, like on the street, especially in Spanish. I don't always know how to say it really quickly, my frustration, and express it. And then when you don't say it, you leave the situation kind of brooding over it and like, oh man, I wish I had said this, or I wish I had done that. And so, yeah, no, there's definitely some truth to that quote.
And so the throat chakra, do you feel it in your throat?
The Vishuddha chakra. I have a scratchy throat right now, so maybe there's some. Maybe this conversation will help.
Is this what's happening right now? but it is true that I think things that when you're not in sync or in a line, kind of, I guess, saying what you want to say, that it physically does manifest.
So exactly.
Things like a scratchy throat or just, you know, people say, feel in the pit of my stomach or whatever it is.
Exactly, yeah. And I think people like you that are very conversant.
good word.
Communicative. It's very easy for you. But for someone like me that is not always on the radio show, you know, it can be difficult to express verbally what you really want to say to someone, especially when it's like this, a difficult conversation you need to have.
No, and I mean, just so you know, it's not always easy for me either. And that's why I have this podcast.
I doubt that.
Forcing myself to have these conversations. I mean, I think some talks are easier than others. Yes, but I think it's just forcing yourself to kind of confront things head on, which is exactly what you're doing. So talk to me about this. Pretty much set the stage. What's going on? What's the context? And then we'll talk about how we can achieve, you know, what you want to get out of this.
Sure. So I worked for a company for about 5 years and was working in the U.S., working here in Barcelona and in the Philippines. And so we were a big, not that big, about 100 people in the company, but all very close and a very young, lively, co-working setting. And so I'm one of those people, Sam, that likes everyone to like me. Like, I want everyone to like me or be my friend to a fault, you know? So if I find out that someone doesn't like me, it bothers me and I want to know why. I was working at this company. And I got along with everyone. We would always hang out, you know, after work on a Friday night, happy hour or whatever. We would, we were collaborating together. And I left the company on very good terms to pursue my kind of yoga spiritual career. And I found out, so I'm still close with many of the coworkers, and we share a common group of friends. And I found out in passing a few months ago that one of the coworkers has an issue with me. And one of our mutual friends kind of said it in passing where, well, you guys don't like each other anyways, no? Like, and I was like, what are you talking about? Like, we had no falling out. And so it just really stuck with me as like, what happened? Like, I just want to know. Apparently she is saying that we have had an issue before in the past. But I wasn't aware about it. And, you know, I think maybe a fault of hers was never expressing that to me. And so I know that I will see her in the near future at a mutual friend's event. And I'm just wondering, should I bring it up with her? I want to, because it's something that's bothering me, just to know, like, what is it that I did that upset you, where, as you said, maybe we have bad blood or we don't have good juju between each other.
No, it's an interesting, let's say, predicament, also because you don't work with each other anymore.
No.
And it's sort of, you didn't even realize that there was a problem.
Exactly.
And so, you know, what went through my head too is, well, what would change if you never had this conversation? You know, would it make a difference?
My inner peace.
Well, and so then you said, you know, you want to have it. And I think that's an important piece to realize, that this is important to you. Mm. I guess the question is, what are you apprehensive about or nervous about or not quite sure in terms of having it?
Well, one thing I think, I thought I got along really well with everyone at work, and that everyone loved me, and I was easy to work with. But since I found this out, I'm thinking, well, maybe I wasn't that easy to work with. Maybe I bossed people around more than I should have, or, you know, maybe I was snappy, or cross the line at some point. And I don't know. So I think the perception I had of my work experience and how I was at work, I thought I was a positive, easy person to work with that was, you know, team oriented. But I think that's what scares me, is finding out from someone else, like, that my perception of how I was is maybe different from how other people perceived me.
And what scares you about that?
That I'm not in reality.
Well,
no, like I said, I like everyone to like me. Like, I want everyone to like me to a fault. And if I find out that one person felt that way about me when we were working together, then maybe other people
might have felt the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's about perception as well as reality. So, you know, one is the perception you have of yourself. The other is the perception that other people have of you. And then actually what's going on.
Exactly.
You know, when you're saying it like this, to me, what's going through my head is sort of like a learning opportunity.
Mm.
Just this has sort of presented itself, and it's raising questions in you, you know, and something that is important to you. You want people to like you. And sure, that's fine. You said sometimes to a fault, and it sometimes can be too much in these cases, which could be a whole other conversation. However, it seems like a chance for you to really kind of ask yourself, okay, well, how am I being seen?
How am I perceived?
Yes. Mm. And I'm wondering if that's something you've ever asked anyone before.
Mm. Yeah, no, I have. And it is strange. It is unnerving when people perceive you in a different way than you perceived yourself, you know, because obviously I'm in front of people a lot with my yoga classes teaching, and I've had it go both ways, where sometimes I felt really just centered and grounded and like the class was flowing. There were zero nerves involved, and people, you know, would be like, oh, you were a little nervous. And I was like, what? No, how you perceive that? And then I've had other times where I've gotten up and done a speech, maybe a public speaking, and someone, you know, I felt like I was really nervous. And after, people were like, wow, you were so confident and cool and your message really came across. And I was like, really? That's what you got? Because I was, you know, in my head, like, very nervous, you know.
It's true. It's funny. My mom was saying the other day that her teacher told her that if you ever walk away from an interview feeling like it went well, it probably didn't. And if you walk away feeling like it didn't go well, then it was probably stellar.
Really?
So I think that happens a lot with us. Mm. How we think we're coming off isn't necessarily how we're being perceived. And so it sounds like this is a key piece. I'm not sure if it's holding you back from having this conversation or that you seem to be really apprehensive of. Is it holding you back enough that you won't have it with her?
No, I guess I come from a family that's maybe a little passive. We're not very... I grew up not really communicating everything. I didn't come from a Jewish family communicating our feelings,
our
emotions.
On your mind to a fault.
Yeah, and because it's something that happened in the past, I'm also like, is it worth is it worth bringing that up? It's something that happened more than 2 years ago. But it's also something that is just eating at me. Like, what happened? I want to know. Like you said, so if people perceived you differently, maybe it's a learning experience for you or a growing experience for myself in how I work with other people.
Yeah, I think the question is, how important is it to you to have this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I say that, what goes through your head?
I think if the opportunity presents itself, I would like to have it, you know? I think it's important. I think it's important just because we share common friends and the likelihood that we'll be running into each other in the very near future is quite high. So
I will call, in coaching, I will call you on what you just said.
Okay.
The language, if the opportunity presents itself, is non-committal.
Yes.
It's more of a reactive rather than a proactive.
Yes.
Which is completely fine.
I don't like confrontation.
So if it's completely fine, if that's where you're at and you're not sure you want to have this. When you say that to me, I'm hearing you want to have this, but it's not important enough to you to actually make the time to proactively have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
And so would that... So is that accurate? If the opportunity doesn't present itself, are you going to regret not having it?
That's a good question. I don't think I would necessarily seek this ex-coworker out on a one-off basis just to talk about it. But I think if I knew we were going... Or if and when I know... more positive. We're going to see each other. Perhaps I could reach out to her beforehand or at the event. Okay. That was very...
No, I mean, it sounds...
Non-committal as well.
It sounds like you're really curious about what she has to say.
Yeah.
And it's something that could potentially even... help you professionally further.
Exactly. No,
yeah,
there is
definite hesitation.
I need to have it.
Okay. And then the question is, will you have it?
I will have it.
Yes.
I will have it.
When will you have it? At some point.
At some point. In the near future.
Okay. Well, we're moving in that direction. And so then I think the next question is, okay, let's say you've decided to have it. What would you want to walk away with? You know, the conversation would be successful if what?
Yeah, it's also a good question. Oh,
thanks,
man.
Ange. Two good questions.
Yeah, I think I just want to walk away with a better understanding of what really happened from her perspective, of us working together for several years together. And just to kind of clear the air and I can decide from there if she's someone I want to continue some sort of relationship with or friendship, or if she's someone that I should just let go of, someone in the past.
No, it sounds like a bit of gaining clarity, both on sort of where she was at and how she saw things, and then also for you, like, is this someone you want around? Is this worth it? As she might say something that you say, okay, well, that was the issue. Well, then you guys just, you're not in sync. You're not, your juju isn't meeting up, isn't aligned.
Exactly. Yeah.
What are you most worried about? You said you don't like confrontation.
Yes.
I guess I'm wondering if there's another way you could look at this conversation in terms of it not necessarily being a confrontation.
Mm. Well, don't you feel like it would be putting you on the spot if someone says, hey, I heard you didn't like me and I want to know why?
Well, I think it largely comes down to as well as how you say it.
Okay.
And I challenge you on that, because a lot of people, when they think about having hard conversations, they immediately go to confrontation. And I think of it as in conversation. Like you mentioned, converser. You're having a conversation. You're speaking, and you're interrogating reality, which is you're pretty much finding out where they're at, like, you know, we said earlier, and then telling her where you're at. It doesn't necessarily have to be. You think of confrontation, you think of things getting heated and sort of yelling and arguing and people getting defensive. And the challenge would be to look at this and other conversations that you perhaps might be more passive on and saying, okay, does it need to be that? Or can this be, you know, just a talk between two people and kind of gaining further understanding as to what happened?
Yeah. So would you have any suggestions then on how to approach it or how to phrase it?
Well,
you know, no one wants to hear the worst. The worst sentence is, hey, we need to talk.
It's true. People tell that to me all the time. I'm like, oh, no. Or come into this little room. I think there's a couple things you can think about. One is not saying you. So when you're heading into something, if you say you did this or you did that, people automatically get defensive. And I think going in there and just being very genuine and even being vulnerable, showing a bit of vulnerability lets your guard down as well. So something like, how's it going? The thing is, she doesn't necessarily know that you know. Exactly.
Yes.
So that is kind of, and you can say, look, I just wanted to talk to you about something. I heard something from one of our colleagues the other day that made me think, and actually kind of, you know, made me feel a little bit bad because I was really unaware of this, and I was kind of wanting to just talk to you about it to understand more what happened then.
Mm.
We could refine this.
Yeah, no, it's good.
But it's coming at it from a sense of, I want to gain further
clarity.
Exactly. I want to gain clarity, not as in, why don't you like me? Or what did I do to you?
Yeah.
If you start off with why, a lot of why questions, as harmless as they may be, people sometimes get defensive. So if you use why as opposed to things like what or where or how, those are a little softer. If you come at someone instantly with, why don't you like me?
Yeah.
Or, you know, why are you mad?
Why don't you love me?
Exactly. then defenses go up.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
So we're actually almost out of time. How are you feeling now based on, you know, this whole chat?
I'm feeling a little nervous that I've committed to you, and I know you're going to follow up with me about this difficult conversation that I need to have. No, but I think it's given me some confidence to go in there with the expectation of just gaining some clarity and learning, like you said, a learning opportunity for myself, something that, you know, maybe she'll share something with me that, oh, wow, I never thought about that. I was really rough around the edges and in these situations, or, you know, something that I could learn for using in the future, working with other people in the future
yeah,
about
I mean,
myself.
I think for you, a challenge would be shifting how you see it from confrontation to like fact finding, learning.
Yeah.
And it's not innate in all of us. Mm. So I will hold you accountable if you want me to. If not, I will never mention it again. Coaching isn't about harassing. Well, depends.
We'll check in.
All right. Let me know how it goes. And thank you so much, Angela, for sharing this story.
Thank you for your advice. Thank you for your advice. Changing my entire life perspective. Yes.
Well, and so talk about shifting perspective. We, at the end of each podcast, you know, I like to give people a challenge. And so I actually had another challenge, but based on this talk, I've just been thinking. I watched a TED talk the other day where a girl was talking about having conversations and communicating and how we don't do it well anymore. Mm. And one thing she said was, go into every conversation being prepared to be surprised.
Okay.
And I really liked that. Because it's sort of like you don't have all the answers going in, and it forces you to really listen to the other person and not have the answer in your head while they're speaking.
Yeah.
So I think my challenge for everyone is this week is going to be go into every conversation or as many as you can, consciously deciding at the beginning that I'm going to be prepared to be surprised.
Okay.
And then walk away from it and ask yourself, okay, was there anything in that conversation that did surprise me?
Mm.
And so, you know, be conscious of that. And it's a little bit of a mind shift.
Yeah.
So that is the challenge.
I like it.
Well, thank you. That's a challenge for you too.
I'll try it out.
If you want to contact me, you can go to my website, blueprintcoaching.ca. Thank you to our fabulous executive producer, Catherine Gostani, and our tech guy, Alex. And have a great weekend. We'll be back next week with another episode of Uncomfortable Conversations.